Morning. I'd like to thank everybody for coming. This morning's share is entitled A World of Chesed, Practical Halachas Demonstrated. And it's a share based on the situation that we're in, this pandemic that has been sweeping the world and deeply affecting the Jewish community. I was thinking about doing something as a schus, when Zecher Nishmas, some of the people, all the people that have been nifter in this horrible, horrible plague. And I looked around, you know, Baruch Hashem, there are a lot of things being done as a tribute with Zecher Nishmas. You look in Jewish media, newspapers, the magazines, the local, national, and there are a lot of tributes, a lot of stories written up. Some people have more than others written up, but in general, there's a lot of focus and remembering some of the people that we lost. And obviously, it's quite a big schus to do that, especially in situations where we don't really have the normal means of being Menachem Avelim. So it is a wonderful thing. There's even a website that someone created, kavodachron.com, which has their, I don't know if it's a full list of people who are niftar. I hope so, because there unfortunately are a lot of people there. And they have tributes that people could write about the niftar. And there's a lot to be gained looking at the stories, looking at so much that these people left. I was trying to think, what can I do? Giving a weekly halacha share to the community. And I thought of this idea. It's actually based on a story I heard years ago from my father-in-law, Akiva Grimblatt, Shlita. Many times he has different people by his house. So one Shabbos meal years ago, I believe he had some Baal Tshuva family. And in talking with them, he asked them, what made you become from? What made you become a Baal Tshuva? Usually it's like some interesting story. Some people on the college campus, some people were picked up by the wall. You know, so many different stories of how people become Baal Tshuva. And this person says, I read a sefer, I read a book, and it changed my life forever. Okay? Baruch Hashem, there's a tremendous amount of inspiring books in Klal Yisrael, in Jewish libraries. Okay? What book was it that inspired you, that motivated you to become from? And this person said, Sefer Avas Chesed, written by the Chofetz Chaim. Sefer Avas Chesed. My father-in-law is a little taken aback. He's gone through the Sefer many times. It's a Sefer where the Chofetz Chaim talks both the halacha of doing Chesed, as well as, you know, little pieces inspiring Chesed. A beautiful, wonderful Sefer. That Sefer from the Chofetz Chaim inspired someone to become a Baal Tshuva? Really? And the person elaborated. He said, I grew up as a secular Jew. And in the secular Jewish world, similar to the, unfortunately, to the world, the Gentile world as a whole, you know, people have platitudes. Don't do to your neighbor what you wouldn't want to be done to yourself. Yeah. Even the Goyim know the concept of Yahavta Reyacha Kamocha. Taka is a Klal Gadol B'Torah. People know all about it. But he says, but in the secular world, in the Gentile world, there's nothing to it. It It's a platitude. Just show me the practice. What should I practically be doing on a daily basis to fulfill that commandment, that obligation? But when the Baal Tshuva said, when I opened up Sefer Avos Chesed and I saw how the Chafetz Chaim delineates very clear mitzvos with halachos of what to do with chesed, of giving out loans, of tzedakah, of havayas ameis, bikur cholim, nicham avilim. There are clear halachos which are given to us to practice. He says, that inspired me. Yiddishkeit is Judaism is not just about platitudes and nice philosophies. Judaism are practical laws we can live by. We could be better people by observing these halachas, by doing these mitzvahs. That's what made him a Baal Tshuva. So, in a certain sense, all the more so, especially when we come to mitzvahs ben amo chavero, it's so kedai and so important to see the clear halachas of what's we're responsible to do. Now, some halachas, like Ben Amo Chavero of Avos Chesed, Chafetz Chaim wrote. Fortunately, not every Ben Amo Chavero halachas are dictated, are codified. It's not really part of the Shulchan Aruch. But especially over here, with Chesed, there are halachas, there are clear dictates from Chazal, and what always makes a halacha clear is when you have a practical story that you could draw on, that you could see the halacha in practice. You could see our Torah demonstrated. This is what the Torah wants us to do. And therefore, I thought, today if we give a halacha share about chesed, about the mitzvah of the after acha kamocha, but we give practical stories and lessons of what people did in observing those mitzvahs, in fulfilling those mitzvahs, that will give all of us a greater clarity on what the mitzvah is, more inspiration to perform the mitzvah. And if those stories, if those demonstrations come from people who passed on during this period, then that could be a great legacy for every single one of them. This week's Parsha, Parsha's Kedoshim, the Torah talked about the mitzvah of the Ahavta Re'acha Kamocha. And this mitzvah, in fact, Gemara and Shabbos talks about it. You know the famous story of Gentile came to Hillel and asked him, be megayer me, teach me the Torah, while standing on one foot. And Hillel responded in explaining the after Re'acha Kamocha that one shouldn't do to one's neighbor what he wouldn't want done to himself. And there are those that understand the mitzvah of the after Re'acha Kamocha, that the mitzvah is protecting from the negative. Don't harm somebody else. Don't hurt somebody else. Don't hurt himself. Don't hurt his money. The mitzvah is really protection from the negative. That's what the mitzvah of the after Re'acha Kamocha is. However, as I pointed out, multiple achronim, that definitely from quite a few of the Rishonim, it's clear they learned the mitzvah differently. One of them, you have in your sheets, is the Rambam. The Rambam, this is Hilchos Deos, Perek Vav, Halacha Gimel. Mitzvah ko adam la'oliv es ko'echa mi'Yisrael, kigufo. You have to actively love another Jew, like he is yourself. Shenemar v'yahavta re'echa kamocha. What does the mitzvah encompass? The Rambam explains. L'fikach, tzarech l'saper b'shvacho. You actively have to say positive things about him. You should praise him. Have a good word about him. V'lachos amamono. And be careful with his monetary possessions. the roots of the kavod atzma. And just like you would want with your own kavod, you have to give him that kavod. If you would take pride in someone else's downfall, that's a big avera. Similarly, the Chinuch writes, Lav kol echad mi Yisrael ahavas nafsho, mitzvah v'yavtecha melcha, means you have to love somebody like yourself. Klomar, it's not so easy to understand. It means to say, Shenachmel Yisrael mona kamoshu chomo atzmo mono. You have to be careful, have rachmanas in another Jew and in his property. Sheklal hakol hu, shenachmel mechver kamoshu misnagim atzmo. The general rule is to do whatever you would want, do for your friend. And if you're going to speak about him, make sure to speak positive about him. And be careful about his kavod. The Chafetz Chaim utilizes both the words of the Rambam and the words of the Chinuch in transcribing his Sefer Chafetz Chaim. In his introduction, the second essay, he writes that there's, if someone, Chas Hashem, speaks negatively about someone else, someone speaks Lashon Hara, so he violates this mitzvah saseh of V'yavta Re'acha Kamocha, and he basically summarizes the Lashon of the Rambam and the Chinuch. He actually brings them both in the Be'er Mayim Chaim. And he says, look, even if it's Lashon Hara, even if it's true, come on, you never would want anyone to speak about yourself. How can you do it to him? And you always have to be positive. You always have to give to another person. That's what the Chafetz Chaim says. So the most basic first idea we see of the after Achamocha, Pashtas, is not just to protect from the negative, but a person has to actively go out and do positive, good things for his friend. And that's why the post can connect the mitzvah of the after Achamocha together with the mitzvah of chesed. The two are synonymous. When you're helping out another Jew, you love another Jew, therefore, of course, you do chesed. You'd help them out. The Rambam explains this even greater in Hilchos Aveilos. This is Hilchos Aveilos, beginning of Perek Yudalid. The Rambam writes, mitzvah se'eshel divreyem. It's a mitzvah from the rabbis, levakar cholim nicham avelim, to visit the sick, to console the mourners, hotzi ameis, to participate in the levaya, achnasas kala, to be misameach, be involved with the wedding, havas orchim, and to welcome guests. Then it goes further to explain what does it mean being involved with mesim, involved in all aspects of burial, for hesped, digging, burying, and so to simchas chasam nakala, take care of all the need, the sadim b'chol tzarcheim, make sudas, make celebrations, make shtavar brachos for them. Then the Rambam writes, the Elohim Gemilas Hasadim Shebegufo. These are mitzvahs are Gemilas Hasadim, which you can do with your body. It doesn't even necessarily require a financial layout. These are mitzvahs which you yourself could do with your body. She'ein lahem shir, which has no limit. There's no limit to how much chesed a person could do, providing he has opportunity, he has the ability, but il dvarm shein lahem shir, the Rambam says. There is no limitation for how much a person could do. Af al pi shekol mitzvos elam medivrayim, even though these mitzvos are rabbinically dictated, harehim b'chlal v'gahavta re'acha kamocha, they're included in the general Torah mandate of v'gahavta re'acha kamocha. So two things to point out from this Rambam. Firstly, he says It's a mitzvah, which is the inlo share. Right? You shake Luv and Esrog, once you shook it, it's over. As opposed to the mitzvahs of chesed, the mitzvahs of v'ahavta re'acha kamocha, these are mitzvahs she'ein lahem share. There's so much chesed a person can do, even if a person fully helped out another Jew. He had problems, he had issues, you took care of him, you solved his problems. Fortunately, there are other people that need chesed. There are other people that need help. As long as a person has the ability, the opportunity to do it, elu dvarim she'ein lahem share. But secondly, within the Rambam, it's hard to understand. Because he starts off explaining that these are mitzvos midrabanan. But the end, he writes that this is included in the mitzvah say d'oraisa v'ahavta re'acha kamocha. So is it a d'rabanan? Is it a d'oraisa? How do we understand it? And all the achronim are troubled with this in the Rambam, and there are multiple answers. I found a very sodistic, majorly important answer from Reb Chaim Kanievsky, Shlita. It's brought, he brings it in his Sefer Arachos Yosher, which is a Musar Sefer on the category of Gemilas Chasadim. But he also brings it Lahalacha in his Sefer Shari Emuna on Maseches Peah. And he explains the stira, it's on the bottom of your sheets, V'yesh Lomar, the Menoraisa who mitzvah Klolius, called Gemilas Chasadim V'yesh Lomar. Midaraisa, this is a general mitzvah. You could always fulfill Gemilas Chasadim. There's no shir. However, Vein Chayiv Kol Yom Masik Gemilas Chasadim. Look, you don't have an absolute chiyuv. It's a general mitzvah. You don't have an absolute chiyuv on you. The Gam Yeshus Tzarchei Atzmo in Chaver Kodem Lo. Look, if you have to take care of yourself, your family, your personal needs, there's no chiyuv to do it, if you could do it, kol kavod. But it's not something sitting on you, a pressing mitzvah. No, your personal needs come first. Well, kishiyachol yeshul mitzvah hazo, when you have the ability, you have a mitzvah to help. Av kishachachamim kavu biker cholim, mitzvah bifnei atzma. But when the rabbis define biker cholim as its own mitzvah, then they have a din, a clarified din of a mitzvah drabanan, just like near Chanukah and Megillah. And therefore, there's a din that pushes off other mitzvahs. It has a din of kedima. If you have an opportunity for nicham avelim, these defined mitzvahs from Chazal, then you have to do it even if you did other chesed that day. Well, even in a situation where you need to do things yourself. No, that's a clear mitzvah delineated by the Rambam. So according to Reb Chaim Kanievsky, it comes out, there's general mitzvahs of chesed, but these specific mitzvahs which are more codified, what you find in Shulchan Aruch, what you find in Sefer Avos Chesed, Nicham Avelin, Hatzalas Ameis, Hachnasas Kala, these mitzvos, which are clearly defined by the Rabbanim, that is more of an absolute chiyuv, and that a person has to do, even before his own personal needs, it even gets kedima over other mitzvos, that's the balance that Reb Chaim Kanievsky gives us. So I'm using these halachas as background for the mitzvahs of chesed, and we'll go through, we'll see some practical applications of these mitzvahs. Now really, I have here more than 15 different stories, ideas of chesed. I basically organized it into four groups. Chesedim dealing with empathy and sympathy and sensitivity towards others. Second category I called your chesed opportunities. Third category I defined as constant chesed. And finally, the fourth category is a higher madriga of ultimate chesed. I'd like to go through each of these. The first one, being mishtatef in someone else's pain, feeling, sharing, empathizing with someone else's pain, really that's already clear in the halachas here, in the Rambam, in the Chinuch. You're supposed to feel, you're supposed to connect with someone else's pain. And one person that exemplified this, the greatest people that we lost, was Rabbi Yaakov Perlow, known as the Novominska Rebbe. And he was somebody that played a major role in the Jewish community for the past decades upon decades. Communal leadership. He's been the head of Agudat Yisrael of America for the past 2 decades. Head of the Hasidus. Rosh Yeshiva, started his own yeshiva. Wonderful, wonderful person. Besides all the communal claw work he did, he was very, very involved with the chidim. And people constantly came to him with their tzaros. And his response was so comforting to people. People would open up to him and tell them their tzaros, tell them the situations. First and foremost, what he did was he listened, he totally empathized with them, and many times it brought him to tears. He was so touched, he lived other people's tzaros. If you're going through that yourself, that'll bring you to tears. So V'hafter Re'acha Kamocha dictates, you know what, when I'm hearing someone else's sorrows, that also has to bring me to tears. They had Hespedim. Yosef Frankel said, he remembers one time, Novominska Rebbe called his house, he wasn't home, but his wife answered the phone. And he was calling to enlist Mr. Frankel to help out with a certain family that's going through tzaros. And he said this person came to him a few days ago, told him about all the tzaros. He wanted Ray Frankel to help. He's telling over the stories to Frankel's wife, Rebbetzin Frankel. And telling over the stories over, he breaks down crying. He didn't just empathize with the person when the person was in front of him. There's just something on his heart which he was crying days later. And it's so amazing, because here you have a person who's so busy. He's one of the busiest people in the Jewish world. He's leading the Jewish world. But he never forgot the Hafter Re'acha Kamocha, what it means to connect with another individual. Additionally, he, being the leader that he was, so many times he was called upon to address and talk to organizations, people. He was once addressing Jewish health professionals, social workers, psychologists. He was giving them advice. He said, before you ever give advice to any of your clients, to any of the people you're involved, that's the second thing you should do. The first thing you always have to do is hear them out, feel their pain. Only after you feel their pain could you give them advice. Advice you're just flipping off the top of your mind, straight out of the books. That's not what the person needs. You have to understand the person. You have to know where he's coming from. Only then, after you fully imbibe the person, you have to understand them. You know, Novominska Rebbe was a genius at understanding people. He was a Rosh Yeshiva in Breuers in the Washington Heights community with a German community, and he came from a house of Polish Hasidim. He spent time in the Skokie Yeshiva in Chicago. And he was a Rebbe in the Mo Borough Park. So many different Jews with every type of head covering. All different types, but he understood all types of Jews. He felt their pain. He was once, multiple times, he addressed Camp Hask, a camp for children with special needs. And he came there and he said, I'm not addressing as a rabbinic figure, as a Rav, I'm here to address you as a parent. He himself had a special needs child, which unfortunately passed away in his lifetime. And when he came to speak to Hask, he totally empathized with them. I know what you're going through. I want to talk to you based on that feeling, not just my knowledge. So that's one example, one halacha of sharing people's pain. With that, another halacha thereafter, Echamocha, is you have to be so careful for the sensitivities of other people. You have to be there for their sensitivities, even if they themselves don't realize it. People we just lost was Rav Yehuda Jacob. He was a mashkiach in the Lakewood Yeshiva for decades upon decades. I feel personally sad about his loss. He recently bought a house in North Miami Beach, I think just a few blocks away from me. He was planned on spending part of the year in Lakewood, and part of the year, he was an older person already, over here in Miami. In Lakewood, he's busy every moment, people asking advice. He was considered the expert at Shidduchim, and Lakewood definitely wants the freezer is open. Lakewood has a lot of eligible bachelors. Bachram turned to him for shidduch advice, but he didn't just give shidduch advice. He was very involved with Shalom Bayis. I know people told me stories. So he would sit and learn, like the Bachram, like the Inga Light in Lakewood. He was sitting and learning the middle of the basement of the Chavrusa. But it was known that besides the appointments people could make with him in their home, if he caught him when it's Chavrusa and him were not learning, he'd sit down next to him in the basement and talk to him. So there's one bacher, no dating, and needs some advice from Mashgiach, from Jacobs. So he saw at one point during Second Seder, he wasn't busy, so Chavrusa walked away for a minute. So he goes, slips in next to him, and asks the Mashgiach if he could talk with him. Mashgiach politely said, please come to me to my house after Seder. Okay, he figured he must still be, you know, involved with something, fine. A while later, he sees the Chavrusa comes back, okay, they're learning. Then again, the Chavrusa steps away, and this time he doesn't step away to get a safer in the back of the Beis Medrash. He walked out the door. So, again, this Bacher goes after Jacob's. He sees, look, if I can hop him now, let's do it. And Jacob's again tells him, do me a favor, come back, meet me by my house after Seder. Okay? Goes back to learning. Maybe not so much learning, because this guy looks like he's constantly focused. What's doing with Rav Jacobs? And a little while later, he sees Rav Jacobs Chavrusa clearly came back in the basement after this, but he clearly was leaving for the day. So now, okay, so Chavrusa's gone. There's no question about it. So he came to ask a third time, Rav Jacobs, could we speak right now? And again, Jacobs politely turned him down and said, let's speak later. This Bacher's dumbfounded. Like everybody, it was commonly known, you could talk to Rav Jacobs during Seder. Why is he telling me to come to his house? Okay? So after Seder, he meets with him, and Rav Jacobs turns to him and says, I'm sure you're wondering why I made you come to meet me at my house. I didn't talk with you in the Beis Medrash today. He says, I'll tell you why. Two people before you came and spoke with me. Both of those people are people which are unfortunately well known in the yeshiva, going through major tzaras. One person was going through a divorce, another person had other issues. And I felt if you would be coming gratitude to those two people, people will start scratching their head and saying, what's wrong with that bachur? And therefore, I felt the best thing for you would be if I spoke with you outside of Seder, by my house. Such a big calf, such a smart person. He figures out other people's sensitivities, even them they themselves didn't realize. That's part of the after Achak Mocha. That's really the Gemara in Kiddushin talks about how sensitive a person has to be. You shouldn't do Kiddushin through a Shleach, the Gemara says. You should do it yourself. You have to see the Kala. You don't want her to ever feel uncomfortable that you didn't meet her. And this chesed, these sensitivities that a person has to have, is not just a bachur in yeshiva or a congregant. This is to every Jew. In fact, the Gemara goes as far as the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Memhei Amud Aleph, that we have to react like a mocha. The Gemara darshens from this pasuk. They learn from this pasuk that bar lo misa yafa, that even a person who's chayav capital punishment, you have to do it in the nicest of ways. And I saw a story, this too I found in the Yated, that there's a Yid, Bobby Fischoff, who was very involved with Kids Off the Derech. One time he had a kid that no place to go, and he agreed to take him into his house on one condition. You come with me wherever I go. You can't just stay in my house. Come in the morning to daven, you come with me to daven. You go to work, you come with me to work. You spend time with me. So this teen took him up on it. And every morning he would go with Rav Avi to shul. He davened by the Sasregan Rebbe. Unfortunately, it's one of the people who were nifter. And the kid was far from davening. Just came there, sat there on his phone, did his own thing. And the Rebbe saw this kid. Rebbe didn't say a word. This kid came, not off the derech, not operating as a firm Jew. And the Rebbe smiled at him, said good morning to him, and would offer him. First day he was there, comes by with a cup of hot coffee and a nice fresh piece of cake. Here for you. Every day this kid would come to that shul. The Rebbe would come by with hot coffee, piece of cake. A few weeks later, this boy told his host, Rabbi Fischoff, I want to put on tefillin. The kid hadn't put on tefillin in years. He wants to put on tefillin. He asked Avi for an English sitter, and he started davening. Avi never brought up this issue with the kid. He just gave him love. Where is this coming from? Kid told him. He says, one day, a few weeks in to spending time by that shul yadavin, that Rebbe came over to me and asked me, would I want to put on tefillin? I told him, not today, but you know what? I'll try, come next week. He said, I thought about it, I'm ready to do it. Just being non-judgmental, giving chesed, being sensitive, to every Jew. You never know the reaction of it. That's part of chesed. Do chesed to every Jew in a non-judgmental way. Help them out. You never know. Your chesed itself might be the key to bring them back. That's one area. Now I'm watching the clock. I hope to finish on time, but we'll see. I might go a couple minutes over. Harvey, you know, the donuts, there's still donuts there, and, you know, it's online, so I'll go a couple minutes over, but we'll see. The next area I want to get to, I called your chesed opportunities. And really, I think this is nichla on what the Ramban says this week's parsha. You have to re'acha kamocha. The Torah chose to utilize the words. The Torah didn't just say love somebody else. It compares the love that you're supposed to have for someone else to the love that you have for yourself. And a person has to look at himself and look at the life that he lives and the opportunities that he has, and even more so, the co-host that he has. The characteristics, the traits, the personality that he himself has, and utilize that not just for yourself, but utilize that for others. So what that really means is every person has their own way how they can perform chesed, how they could fulfill the mitzvah of the hafta reacha kamocha, like yourself. Utilize your talents, your abilities, your situation, the same way you would utilize it for yourself, utilize it for someone else. And one story comes to mind, I saw this in the Mishpacha magazine. Rabbi Yehu Bakshi Doron was chief rabbi, the Rishon Lezion, for many, many years. He was a Sephardic chief rabbi, I believe alongside Rabbi Yisrael Meir Lau in Eretz Yisrael. Huge Talmud Chacham. And he had a very interesting minhag. I believe he took this minhag straight out of the pages of Megillas Esther. On Purim, he had a contest for all young Talmidei Chachamim, Sephardic Talmidei Chachamim. On his table, in his house on Purim, was the Sephardic chief rabbi garb. I have to be careful, I don't want to use the word costume, even on Purim. The clothes that he wore, the big hat, the fancy long robe, was on the table. And the Rav would have young Talmidei Chachamim come in and share with him Divrei Torah. And by the end of the day, the Talmud Chacham, who said the nicest Divrei Torah, Rav Eliyahu Bakshi Doron, would dress him in his clothes. Talk about a photo op. Miesha Amela Chafetz Bikara. He would honor him wearing that. Eliyahu Bakshi Doron understood the robes that he wore, the responsibility, that talus that he took on his shoulder. He utilized that in a way that only he could. I want to honor young Talmidei Chachamim. I was once in their position, a young kid. And the kavod and the respect and the potential that was shown by older Rabbanim gave me so much chizuk. I want to pass that along myself. But you know what? You don't have to be chief rabbi of Eretz Yisrael, Sephardic Rishon Lezion, in order to do chesed and give kavod to others. There was a store in Borough Park back in the day called Oneg. Oneg, like Shabbos, was a takeout store. It was one nice potato kugel, some barbecue chicken, some cold cuts, whatever you wanted. Oneg was a wonderful takeout store in Borough Park. And the owners of the store, the proprietors, were the Palgon family. Mr. Louis Palgon, Lava Shalom, the father of Rashiva here, of Mordechai Palgon, his brother, Menahel, Ephraim Palgon, was somebody that was always trying to do chesed whatever way he could. And I heard of stories of how literally the Anim of Borough Park would come in Friday afternoon to pick up their orders. In fact, someone from the family once went in on Friday afternoon when there was a whole group of these Anim, they're picking up their orders. And even though he was family, someone warned him, it's going to be a while. You know, you think your family, you don't rank. These guys come first. And they literally would give out their packages, their orders, to all these Anim who weren't paying for it. But in the most dignified manner, were having food for Shabbos, picking up from a takeout store, which also was a front for tremendous chesed. And I personally know, my mother told me, it wasn't just for Aniyim, it was in general the chesed they did with their customers. My mother's family, Parnas family of Borough Park, would shop at Onig all the time. And when my grandmother passed away, Mr. Louis Palgan brought over food for Shabbos to my mother, to the family who was sitting Shiva. You weren't just a customer. You connected with them, part of a broader family. And the way they did chesed was with their store, with their food. I had a neighbor back in Brooklyn, young kid, Mordechai Klapper, Baruch Mordechai Ben Zogazinsan of Avram Mamel, knew for years, a sweet kid growing up, quite a few years younger than me. And unfortunately, he had health issues. He got a kidney transplant not too long ago. And unfortunately, he passed away not long after his mother passed away from coronavirus. And his means, fortunately, never got married, but his means of being a Baal Chesed, he lived in his house. He memela was able to help out his mother. His mother was sick for years. He was able to be there for her, together with Zalkus Zimtzain, his father, and help out. You look at your situation in life, that itself, that's a way I could contribute. He did chesed. And I saw some story, which is amazing. He had a friend of his, and judging from the way it was written, actually from a picture that was posted too, I saw this friend with somebody that his Yiddishkeit was a little bit waning. And this friend was coming into New York, and Mordechai offered to pick him up. That particular day, he didn't have a car available. He went and took a cab to pick up his friend from the airport. That's a thing people do for their friends. But the way that Mordechai made it his chesed, when his friend offered to pay him for it, he took a cab to pick him up. Mordechai refused. This is my chesed. I planned on picking up with my car. Wasn't able to. I'm not charging you. His friend was so inspired by that, taken aback. He said, for the first time in years, he hopes to count Sfira this year as a schus leon nishmas. Mordechai Klapper. There's a Yid in Queens, I knew of him, Rav Matas Blum, Choshev HaTalmud Chacham, close Talmud of Rav Pam. In fact, he had the schus. He wrote Rav Pam's Sefer, Atarah L'Melech. And Rav Matas Blum was a great writer. And he utilized those talents to help others. This is how he made his chesed. In 1977, he decided to write a Parsha sheet. He'll have Divrei Torah on the Parsha, some questions about the Parsha, and distribute it in shuls. So this way, in the downtime in shuls, people could have Divrei Torah easily accessible. It was written in English, part of it in Hebrew. People could read and connect to it. It seems this was the first Parsha sheet. 1977. Well, this phenomenon caught on, and walk into any shul anywhere, you see tons and tons of these parsha sheets. No doubt a tremendous schus being reaped by this Rav Matas Blum. That's a way I could contribute. I'm a writer, I know Divrei Torah. Hey, why don't we make a parsha sheet? Look how far that went. There's a lady, she lived most of her life in what you call good old Muncie. Muncie, when it first started, was literally farmland. Today, it's a developed metropolis, a big Jewish community. Back in the day, it was a small, literally, farmland that people went out, people who wanted a simpler life from the city, away from the distractions, a pure life. Yaakov Kamenetsky was one of the big figures there. She was Beis Medrash Elyon. And Mrs. Tabak raised a whole beautiful mishpacha. Family is very involved in the klal. And I believe she performed the chesed to families, which is an amazing chesed, many times overlooked, especially when people get older and they're limited in what they could do. So one might think, it's, you know, when you're young and you're vivacious, you could run around doing chesed for everybody. But unfortunately, when you're older, you don't have that ability. But listen to the sage advice that she gave to a grandchild. Later point in life, she already lost her sight from Parkinson's. And she told the grandchild the following, reading from something brought in the Yated. A person's job in this world is to find their tafkid, to find their purpose. And their tafkid is really who they really are. She said, when my feet were working, I thought that my mobility was part of who I am. But when I lost that mobility, I realized that my essence is something so much greater than just the ability to walk and get around. When I had my vision, I thought that seeing was part of me. That was part of my tafkid. But unfortunately, when I lost my vision, I realized that my tafkid does not include walking, it does not include seeing. But that too is part of my purpose in life. Such deep, amazing advice. That's something a person could do. Your chesed, every person in life is able to do chesed. They have to find the situations they could do it. And other advice, I just heard this last night. Fortunately, a Talmud here in Yeshiva lost his father from this dreaded disease. And this Talmud told me, his father was a lawyer. And he's been very involved in pro bono cases, helping out people. And he was involved, his advice that he gave, he was an expert in foreclosures. And there was a young family in Lakewood that were having their house foreclosed. And he was involved with helping them out. One day, someone came to him with a very lucrative situation. They needed his advice. And it involved a phone call, conference call, 11 a.m. the next morning. Mr. Larry Kushner said, I'm sorry, I can't do it. Passing away, this is good money. He's like, I already have a commitment. I'm helping this family out in Lakewood, pro bono, for free. Your chesed, there's no price tag. This is what I could do. To me, it's worth the alfei zav chesed to help out. This is a way I can contribute. This is a way I can help another person. This is how I'll do it. The next area of chesed, and I think this is also nichla on the Rambam. The Rambam said the chesed is something which is ein lohem share. There's no end point. There are people that can literally live a life, have a business, where all they do is chesed. Constant chesed. And really, there's so many people that fit into this category. You have doctors, you have people involved constantly, especially a person who's dedicated, does it for all the right reasons. I'll share a few stories. This one I call the public servant. There's a Yid in Flatbush, Rav Noach Deir. I knew him personally. There's a mishpacha. There's a daughter that lives in Boca, the Lindenberg family. Rav Noach Deir, for many, many years, was a city councilman in New York, one of the first frum politicians. And then later became a judge, working his way up from a regular judge to eventually a Supreme Court judge. And he constantly was doing chesed. That's how he viewed his job as a public servant. There's an amazing story of how he was brought to Kavura. He was Nifter just a couple weeks ago, and they're starting to allow flights to land in Eretz Yisrael and some Gvir in Brooklyn, and his private jet was flying to Eretz Yisrael and was actually taking with different mesim that need to be buried. And the seats on this small plane were limited. The family heard about it. They tried to reach out, see if they get their father's Aronon to be buried where he had Karka in Eretz Yisrael. And they were told, I'm sorry, but the flight's booked. There's like one slot left. And this guy was charging $200,000 to get into the flight. So it's not for everybody. And that was the asking price. But when he found out who the Nifter was, when he heard the name Noach Der, he said, Noach Der, he says, he's coming on the flight. Not only that, I'm not charging you. He said, years ago, he helped me out. He says, I have to repay him. It's a person who constantly did chesed. But the story doesn't end there. Even after this Gvir, person who owned the plane, let him on, but FAA regulations, they had to put on the list of people, the list of the seats, and it was crunch time. They gave in the list already. The FAA wasn't going to change it. I'm sorry. You gave in your list of who's on the flight. I'm sorry. But when the FAA official found out who was trying to get on that list, to get on that plane, again, Noach Der, he helped me out. And that's how he was brought to Kavur in Eretz Yisrael. A person constantly doing chesed. But it wasn't just to Gevirim and to government officials he was doing chesed to. He was helping out. He was helping out the little people. I saw something written in the site Kavod Acharon. It was actually written by my wife's cousin. She was a court stenographer, and she was set to work in Brooklyn. She was working in Brooklyn. But Baruch Hashem, with a growing family, she lived in Queens. It was hard to go back and forth. And one day, she reached out to all her superiors to try to see if she could be transferred from the court system of Brooklyn to the court system of Queens, which would be much easier for her. To no avail, no one's listening to her. One day, she ran into Rav Noach Der. She was in his court. He was the judge. And after the proceedings, she went over to him, explained her situation. He says, I'll take care of it. Next thing she knew, she was switched to Queens. Just a regular lady just asked for a favor, helped out. I'll tell you, my family also knows this personally. My father worked for many years for the NYPD behind the desk. And he was supposed to be promoted. I remember the story as a young kid, but I called for the details last night. My father scored the highest on the civil service exam, the highest in all of the police department. But yet he was passed up for a promotion. And it was due to, let's call it, some corruption, some issues within the department. My father reached out to Noach Der, and he took care of it. He helped out my father, and my father got his promotion. I remember my father meeting up with Noach Der afterwards and thanking him. That's a public servant. That's somebody who utilizes his position to help other people. There's a grocery store in Lakewood called NPGS. Strange name for a grocery store. Especially when you hear what those initials stand for. Not-for-profit grocery store, NPGS. They have multiple branches within Lakewood. And it was the brainchild of Reb Zev Rothschild. He ran this grocery store, but it was anything but for profit. A grocery store for him was a front to do chesed. The people he hired in the store, he hired because there's a chesed to hire them. He went, I know this, Talmud of mine, his father worked there. He told a story how Mr. Rothschild, Zev, went to a trade show, one of these kosher food expos, and saw someone coming out with a new product. And he decided he's gonna buy that product and sell it in stores. Everyone was like questioning, and they didn't really think it was such a good product and would sell well. It didn't matter to him. He saw that particular person needed parnasa, needed help. He bought the product. And we'll see what happens. But he didn't just do chesed to the employees, to the vendors. He did chesed and chesed to his buyers. And there constantly were people who were in dire straits, tough situations. They were told, shop in the store, don't worry about it. People shop, they put it on their account, knowing, told by the owner, don't worry, you're never going to have to pay it. That's when you own a store like that, when you run a store like that, that's constant chesed. There was a lady, unfortunately her husband, from Naftali Hass, I grew up with, a neighbor of mine, and this lady, Ronaldson, was the sister of a neighbor here in North Miami Beach, Svi Englander from the Kolo. Mrs. Hass, fortunately, left a family with many children, but at the same time left the legacy of chesed. And constant chesed doesn't have to be that you own a store and your store is a front for chesed. I saw someone tell of a story of there was an almana in the neighborhood. I believe a younger married woman. And every single week when she was well, Mrs. Hass made a potato kugel and brought over just for this lady, week after week after week after week. A lot of times people feel you do a chesed, yotze. But real chesed is another madriga of chesed that the Rambam writes, ein lo shir. Constant chesed is also constant chizuk. When you provide that on a weekly basis, sometimes even on a daily basis, to another person, you're giving them so much. It's much more than a potato kugel. You're giving them chizuk, you're giving them life. There are so many stories about these teachers who passed away. It's an amazing story, this Mrs. Murek, who was the head for many years of the Beis Yaakov, Jonah Dax Beis Yaakov in Chicago. And one of the things she used to do, she used to tell her Tamidos that she would daven with them when she yearly would go to the Kosel, and she'd take with lists and lists of her students and daven for them. This is going back years ago. She went to the Kosel with her list of students to daven. She went to the bus stop, about to go back to where she was staying, and then she realized, oh no, there was one list that I forgot to daven for. But being the dedicated teacher that she was, she went back to the Kosel to daven. I left it out. She was an older person. The bus stop is not right there. It's a walk. It's a this. She went back and davened. Quite an amazing story, because the bus she was about to take was the number 2 bus that Rahman al-Islam was bombed years ago, going back from the Kosel. A dedicated teacher, see a story, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of them. They didn't pass away from a bus bombing in Eretz Yisrael years ago. Fortunately, they passed away now, together with so many other great Kedoshim in this time of this pandemic. Another story, my son's teacher, Mor Leah Knaf, she was a teacher for many, many years, a preschool teacher in Yeshiva Tiferes Moshe in Queens. And this lady, I remember when my son had her, she was up there already in her 80s. She was driving in every day from good old Muncie to Queens, every day. Even when she got older and wasn't able to drive, she still came in every day. And this lady might have been in her 80s, but she had more Bren, more warmth. My wife tells them the story. She remembers by the sitter play, the kids were like running wild before it started. And she saw, wow, this is a lively bunch. And, you know, the administrators, principals are trying to get the kids to quiet down. The parents are all here. And in walked this Moralea. And she just had a way of calming these kids down. They all sat in their seats, and she had full control. Amazing, amazing. The warmth of this Moralea. And if you talk about Chesed, you have to talk also about somebody who just passed away last week. Mr. Marvin Chick, Reb Marvin. He was somebody amazing. He grew up in Borough Park and got a kesher with Rabbi Aaron Cutler. He never was a Talmud of the Lakewood Yeshiva. In fact, his friends saw a story. He ended up there one time for Shabbos. On one side of him was sitting Rav Meir Stern, Shlita, Rosh Yeshiva of Pseik, Borough Park Talmud, and of Rav Aaron. On his other side was sitting with Moshe Hillel Hirsch, Rosh Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael of Slabatka, also Borough Parker, who was a Talmud of Rav Aaron. And Rav Aaron decided to be mechabed in the yeshiva with benching, that Shalosh Shudas, this Mr. Marvin Chick. His two buddies inside of him were kibitzing him. Oh, of all the guys in the yeshiva, you're the guy who gets the kibbutz. But Rav Aaron saw in him a potential for greatness. And in his last conversation with him, asked him to dedicate himself to help out yeshivas. He felt that was the ultimate area of askanus, of helping out. And basically his entire life, this Mr. Marvin Chick, who was a brilliant person, he was a lawyer by trade, could have been a CEO of big companies, did tons and tons constantly. The president of RJJ, Yeshiva Sabini Yaakov Yosef, which he himself went to, he guided it, he helped it, he was involved in the Avichai Federation. It was somebody, he didn't own his house. He didn't drive a car. And himself, he pushed aside. But he was totally, constantly dedicated to the klal. That's constant chesed. I want to just end with two stories. We see these are all practical examples. You see living examples. The words of Chazal demonstrated by people that lived in our generation. These aren't stories of tzaddikim from hundreds of years ago. These are people that lived in our generation. And the last two stories to me hit home the most. One, this halacha, this din, really when the Rambam writes Ein Lahem Shir, it's not just a thing quantitatively, constantly you could do chesed. The Ein Lo Shir is also qualitatively how much to put into a chesed. And there are many people that have seemingly superhuman strength when they involve in chesed. And really these stories could be told about many Hatzalah volunteers. I just saw a story by this Ellie Beer, who Baruch Hashem survived coronavirus, actually right here, University of Miami in Florida, the head of Hatzalah organization in Eretz Yisrael. At one time, he broke his leg being involved helping someone with on a Hatzalah call. But he went constant and took care of the whole situation with a broken leg. Only tended to himself after he got the other person off into an ambulance. Superhuman strength. He was obviously in tremendous pain. But he saw in front of him a situation, triage. The person needs it more. And really, there's a lot of Hakar Satov we have to give to these Hatzalah volunteers. These are people who have jobs, who have lives, who walk and just do chesed. Hatzalah is pure chesed. One of those people, fortunately I never met him, but he lived here in our community of North Miami Beach, was Rabbi Ari Reichbard. He was somebody who was constantly involved. He was involved in Hatzalah here in North Miami Beach. And when he moved to the big city, it didn't matter. They could have a big or a small organization in New Jersey. He's joining, he's part of it. One time he was driving in Lakewood and Rahman al-Islam, two children got hit by a car. They didn't just get hit by a car, they were pinned under the car. And Ari, together with another person, ran to the scene. One guy got a jack out of his car, and together, like most people, I would freeze in such a situation. Like, and to play around with the jack, you know, you have moments to spare. If you wait till the fire department comes, it could be too late. They ran, they literally picked up the car. Not only did they pick up the car, through the whole process, Ari was involved in talking to the kids, calming the kids, as they did the delicate work, this delicate surgery, lifting up a car off two young children who hit by it. And they saved the children's life. In fact, this Ari was honored by the township there in Lakewood, by the government officials, for such an act of heroism. And finally, I'd like to end with a story from the person we started from, the Novominska Rebbe. Somebody that his loss, you know, people said he didn't die from coronavirus. He died from a broken heart, from seeing the tzaras of all the Yidden around him. Novominska Rebbe might have been one of the most prestigious, the Gedolim here in America, deserved so much kavod, but it never was about the kavod. Just at the past Sima Shas, you clearly saw how they were singing for him from the rafters of Giant Stadium. Ki Orech Yamim, singing for their king from Novominsker, just blew it off. Stop. But I'll show you, it wasn't just he blew off kavod. He was a Rebbe who didn't walk around with kabayim, didn't drive in a fancy car, come across with extra fancy clothes. He was so simple. And his Baal Batim, his people knew, you call his house, you get him on the phone, you walk into his house, you meet him. One time one of his Baal Batim walked into his house, and the sight he saw, he never would forget. Sitting there in front of him was this giant Torah leader, Novominska Rebbe. On the chair across from him, well, this poor person from the neighborhood there in Borough Park, Rahman Aslan, had bad feet and had these wounds with pus, just horrible sight. And the Rebbe was sitting there bandaging his wounds. He was taking care of him. This person had no one else to take care of. He came to the Rebbe. The Rebbe said, I'll take care of you. That is Mesiras Nefesh. That is Chesed on a plane for the Ahavta Re'acha Kamocha. If there's no one in the world that could help you out, wouldn't you want anyone to do that? Even if it means a great Rebbe with helping you out. I think these stories are inspiring, but more than inspiring, they're a legacy for the people who live them, the chesed that they did, the kiyum of the mitzvah, the Ahavta Re'acha Kamocha, is something so special, and it should be some zchus, their neshamas, that we learn and we're inspired and we get clarity in what this mitzvah of the Ahavta Re'acha Kamocha, in this olam chesed yibana, in this tremendous world of chesed that Baruch Hashem Jewish people build on a daily basis. Thank you very much for listening. Have a wonderful week.